Hi guys, welcome back to the To All The People podcast. I have none other than Bria Fleming with me. I'm so excited. I'm not kidding. This is one of my favorite people on the internet. It's also the fact that she's on one of the best shows right now, Bravo, Summer's House, Martha's Vineyard, which with an all-black cast, something we've never actually seen before. And I just cannot wait to just dive deep with her. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. I'm so happy to be here. I'm fangirling right now. Like I walk in,
I'm fangirling.
Like, like you don't understand how much you mean to us and like just the representation, like you are everything to us and just keep up the hard work. Like you don't understand.
I'm not trying to cry today.
I'm going to make you cry. Today. Happy tears.
No, I want to say thank you to you too. I remember when I saw that Martha's Vineyard was coming out, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited about this. Yes. I kid you not. I was there when it first started. I watched it all the way season through.
Thank you.
I was clutching my pearls a couple of times. Yes. I was like, dang. And then I saw you mind your business, but you stood on business, which is something I really, really appreciate.
Period.
Something I, really like. I just like want to talk to you about how does it feel to like be, to basically be kind of walking in your essence right now? Like how does it feel right now?
It still feels unreal. Mm-hmm. This is something that I manifested since I was young. I always wanted to have my own reality show. And as you get older, you get different gigs pitched to you and you have to find the right one. Before I was on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, I was actually on Stranded with a Million Bucks, which was a reality show on MTV, a survival show. And I only lasted 3 days. They put us in the middle of the jungle and they're like, okay, you have to survive off the natural elements.
Yeah.
I died. I'm like, I shot that.
Oh my God. No, no.
And then after that, I'm like, you know what? The next show that I'm going to do, it has to be like a reality show, like more lifestyle, non-scripted. Because I just felt like I made a fool out of myself and I beat myself up after that show. So I did get pitched different shows, you know, throughout the years. And then I'm like, no, this one isn't right. This one isn't right. And then finally, my friends were pitched this show. And then she was like, hey, do you want to do it? It's like a group of friends because we're all real friends. And we get to go out and just live our life. It's non-scripted. You just do you. Be free. And I'm like, oh, I've been waiting for this for years.
That.
And it took like, the last show that I did was in 2016 and into 2023. So it took a couple amount of years to get the right show. And that just shows how long that manifestation process was. So every day I'm very thankful because I'm like, this is how I eat at night. This is how I'm able to invest.
Yeah.
And also, just it's a blessing to have that platform to show Black excellence in what we do. So I'm very thankful, but I still pinch myself. A lot of people also say like they treat me with like a celebrity style, like they treat me with celebrity respect. So sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I feel like a celebrity right now, and they're like, no, Bria, you are one. And I'm like,
no, you are. And Fashion Week.
Yes.
Let's talk about it, like all of the cool things that you're doing. Like you're going beyond the scope of just doing. You're basically becoming an entire brand.
Oh yeah, so that's big to me. My mom, thank God, I have her on my side, but she's like, you have to do everything: beauty, fashion.
Yes.
Also, have a dog, so I'm into like the pet care.
Yes.
But I love fashion. I went to Fashion Week in Paris and also in Italy. Thank you to my PR. She like pushed me with that. I want to do everything.
Yeah.
I'm a Gemini. I'm always all over the place, but I love to just branch and just test the waters, and fashion has been one of them lately, and just being in a fashion industry and testing, changing up my fashion.
Yes.
So I really love it, and I want to do more, hopefully. So the brands that see me, you know, pull me for your shows.
I love that. I want to get back. I want to circle back to the whole manifestation
yes,
tip.
Of course.
And I think I want to talk about, like, who you were.
Okay.
Like in where you are now. Like who were you 10 years ago? Maybe who were you in high school?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you? Was there anything that made it difficult? How did you keep the faith? How did you keep going? Like who is Bria?
So for me, I grew up upstate New York, in the boomies.
Yeah.
And I was there for a couple years. My dad was a retired correction officer at Rikers Island. My mom was always in film, yes. But she was a stay-at-home mom until she started focusing on the film world. And I was always just an adventurous kid growing up. I had a lot of friends. My family has always been in the arts. I have a brother who used to work on Broadway. He was young Simba on the Lion King tour for Broadway.
Oh,
so
wow.
He did that for a couple years.
That's cool.
Which kind of brought us in that direction of like creative activities. And my mom, I keep saying thank you to my mom. She had us in like different activities, gymnastics, swimming, acting, dancing. So it tried to help us and mold us into things that we wanted to be when we grew up. But I still didn't really know. Like, as a child, I was like, I want to be like a model or something. But I didn't
really
know.
You always knew that you were going to be something great.
I always knew that I was going to be something great. But I would say growing up, I feel like I missed out on a lot of opportunities because I was very shy.
What? Really?
Very, very shy. And I used to get bullied. Like, I was shy. I got bullied by people. I was scared to go to school at some point. I would have a lot of anxiety. So people don't really know that side. And it took me until like my adult years to come out of that shyness and just to be like, okay, I'm going to be the star of the show.
Yeah.
But growing up, it was always my brother. He was in the limelight. He was doing the modeling. He was with Ford Models, modeling with Donna Karan, Gap. Wow. Like, he was the face for all these big brands. But me, I was always on the sidelines. And then when we moved, my parents got divorced in 2003, separated and divorced in 2010. We relocated to Calabasas, California. And I attended Calabasas High School. And then that's when I started to, like, open up a little bit because I started getting the friend groups. I became a cheerleader, track runner.
Yeah.
And I was just testing the waters with different friend groups, and I was coming more out of my shell, but still a little shy. But I think I was a little more outgoing.
Yes.
And then I would say when I got to college is when, like, things started to change for me. I went to Los Angeles City College for film. A lot of people don't really know that. And I was living off-campus housing for USC students, and I was just meeting a lot of people. And I'm like, you know what? This is my year. This was 2013. And I'm like, I'm going to go full force. I'm going to make friends. I'm going to try to do everything that I can. And I was going out. I was meeting new friends. I was doing so many different opportunities. But it took a while. Like, I was just scared. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it could be insecurity. A lot of it could be like, I just didn't know what people were saying. Because for me, I always took other people's opinions to heart.
Yes. And can be very opinionated.
They can be. And my mom always instilled in me, like, you're a strong black woman. Yes. You're beautiful. Because I went to predominantly white schools.
Yeah.
So it was also hard fitting in. And then they have their mind already made up about you. I came from a really great family, but they still always have their mind made up about a black woman or a black man. So, you know, coming into these schools that were, you know, predominantly white, rich schools, it was hard. And, you know, my mom, you know, was taking care of us. It was me, my brother and sister, and we were living in a one bedroom apartment and like making it work. But like, it really built a lot of character.
Yeah.
And also just confidence for me, because I'm like, you know what? Things weren't handed to me, and my mom did work hard, and my dad worked hard as well and took great care of us, even though they were separated.
Mm-hmm.
It built a lot. And what else I would say? No, but once after college, I'm like, okay, I know what I want to do. I want to be in the arts. I want to do modeling. My first job was at McDonald's. Second job was at Abercrombie & Fitch.
And this is stuff people don't be knowing.
People don't know this.
They see, and I feel like especially for black women, they always see the other side of the result.
Yes.
They don't see the bad days.
They
don't see the days when you felt like you weren't enough. They don't see the days when you were trying to ignore the comments around you. They don't see the day when you were, I remember for me at least, I was so afraid in high school. Because like, my mom had us living in a hotel.
Okay.
And we were going to the richest high school in Dallas, which was Plano West.
Yeah, okay.
And my biggest fear was, damn.
Yeah, that's how
they're
going
to find me out.
That's how we were.
They're going to find me out.
Yep. Because they were like, oh, when you live in Calabasas or like predominantly big, nice schools that are just rich white schools, or, you know, it is what it is.
No, it is, yeah.
They give kids, like more of the athletes, scholarships to come into the school.
Yeah.
So all the kids, they might come from Crenshaw, they might come from the Valley, and they come all the way up to these nice schools to play football or to like be on track. So most of them thought like, oh, like you're on scholarship here. And I'm like, no, I'm living in, like, there's apartment complexes in Calabasas where I live. You know, there's luxury complexes. Yeah, we may be in a one bedroom or two bedroom apartment, but it's still nice and it's great energy. But that was another thing. And then another thing was, you know, they would come to school in Bentleys, Lamborghinis. My mom had when I first pulled up to Calabasas, we had like,
that's so
my
crazy.
My cousin took us, and it was a broken down vehicle, like something straight out of a
movie. Did you ever do the thing where you were just like, okay, I want just park down the street?
Yes.
No, and I did that my entire childhood. My mom had this beat up Lexus.
Yes.
I think the back seat was out. It was rust everywhere.
Yep,
and I was like,
that's how the car
you need
was.
To, I can walk. And just park down the street.
Oh, no. And there was a big hill because they would park down and I had to walk with my backpack up this hill. It was insane. And I would meet them. I'm like, don't pull that car in the front because it was like a fashion show of cars. Like they pulled up in Bugattis and Audi R8s. And I just felt like, oh, but I grew out of it eventually. But I was ashamed. And I was walking that hill every day and I was so ashamed. But then you meet the friend groups, because a lot of my friends that went to the school that were the beautiful black kids that went, they were in the sports, they were all on scholarship. They were used like different home addresses to go to school there. But we all stuck together and it was fun. And everyone in Calabasas was nice for the most part. But just that period of the time when I first transitioned from New York to that school, it was very hard. I was like, oh,
no,
my God,
I can only imagine. I feel like one thing that we don't talk about, and I feel like when we talk about black girl luxury and we talk about all of these different things, like a lot of people have like super humble beginnings. It's also learning how to adapt in all types of environments.
It is.
That's what no one talks about. Learning how to be a jack of all trades, learning how to do this, learning how to do that. I can't like express like how important it is enough.
Yes.
But yes, my fear was always they're going to figure me out. They're going to out me. And I remember someone had asked me a question. They were just like, do you equate like your sense of self-worth to like all of the luxury things you have? And I was like, that is a loaded question.
Yes.
And I'm just like, definitely not. Mm-mm. It's like when you know what it's like to be at the bottom.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is climb up.
Of course.
There's nothing after this.
No, there isn't.
So I want to have what I want. I want to travel. I want to go to France. Yes. I want to go to Paris. Yes. I want to go buy that YSL bag.
Of course.
So my question to you is, in this space and with where you're headed and like where you're going and stuff, how are you able to constantly show compassion to yourself, especially with the fame that's come with Summer House? Like, what has like probably been one of the most difficult things?
Difficult things. I just feel like the biggest difficult thing for me is I'm very misunderstood.
Yes. Like, but I love watching you.
Yes.
Because you'd be standing on business. You'd be minding your business, but you'd be standing on business.
And I feel like I'm like the smallest one there.
Yes.
I am as a girl. And like, you are like how you see me is who I am.
Yes.
Like, I'm into fashion. I've always been like this since I was young. I also love how you said, you know, you shop at the Goodwill. Like you still go and get your
things. I'm gonna go get me that oversized blazer.
That's
and
me.
I might pair it.
That's me.
With something nice. I might pair it with a nice little YSL heel.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Balance.
But that's me. I do the same thing. Like I will go and thrift shop. I will go and, you know, get these things. And I've always been like that as a child. Even when I couldn't afford it, my mom was still thrifting my clothes and finding like the True Religions, the Ed Hardy at the thrift shops. And for me, it's like, I think people think that this is an act. Like, oh, she thinks she's better. And like, that's the misconception with me. Like, no, I am who I am.
I think that's also like that just stereotype with black women. Like, you can't win for when you can't.
And I just want people to understand me more. I'm not saying you gotta like me. I may not be everyone's cup of tea, but like I have a story, I have a past, I have a future, I have a present. And if you wanna get to know me, I'm open.
Yes.
But like everything that you see is who I am. Everything that I do in my life, I pay for it. I make great money. I travel. I love to like live the finer things in life, which I think I deserve because I worked so hard. Like I worked at the bottom. I worked so hard, but I just think that people misunderstand me a lot and judge without really getting to know me. Yeah. And that's something that I battle with. And I constantly have to prove myself. And my mom's like, you don't have to prove yourself to anybody. Like,
do you feel like sometimes you feel it a lot more because of your partner?
Yes.
Same.
Yes.
Same. And it's because Luke's white.
Yes.
And they always like equate like, oh, she's doing well because of him or he pays for everything. He's like, I mean, he's doing well too, but I ain't doing too bad myself.
No. And that's one thing that I wanted to mention. I'm so glad you brought that up. is that before I met Simon, I had.
And we love Simon, by the way.
We love Simon.
We love Simon.
Before I met
Simon, be showing up, okay?
He is my best friend, and I'll get to that.
And it shows. It just shows. Like, it shows that y'all love each other deeply.
We are, like, and we weren't even supposed to be together. It was just, it was crazy. But, like, before I met him, and I want everyone to know this, before I met Simon, I had my own life. I was already casted on the show. I did Playboy. Like, I was already had a life established, money saved up.
Yes.
I had three jobs. I had a beautiful apartment in New York City, a beautiful car. It's very hard to have an apartment in New York City.
And a car.
And a car. And a luxury car at
and
that.
And you got to, don't you have to pay to park
you
the car?
You have to pay $400 a month to park Ooh. This car. And I bought my own car with my hardworking money. You know, not daddy's money, not mommy's money. They could have done it for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was working three jobs. I was working in hospitality, club managing, bottle service, as well as hosting. And I was, like, crushing it, making great money because that's what I did for a while. And then I was like, you know what? Everything's going great. I want a difference because I get very bored. So I want to go to Europe. I'm going to pack all my things up, and I'm going to, like, go to Europe. And my mom was like, how are you going to do this? You have no – I'm like, no, I saved my money. I'm going to sell some of my designer things, and I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And I went to film school, and I had applied for the Cannes Film Festival accreditation because they have accreditation until the age of 28.
I feel like nobody knows
this. Knows this information. So they're thinking, white man flew her to France and paid for her whole stay. No.
Yeah, no, babes. I was invited to that.
I was invited.
Yeah.
And I had credentials. And I was able to plug my college with, because you have to write a whole essay about film if you're a film enthusiast. So I got approved for my credentials. I went to three days in Cannes, and it was going great. I appeared on a red carpet, and then I went to a party. I went to an after party, and he was there with his friends, and I was there by myself. I was supposed to meet a high school girlfriend who stood me up. And I ended up just staying there by myself. I had a cocktail, and he approached me, and he's like, hey, what are you doing here? And at that time, I was actually looking at my puppy on the doggy cam, making sure my dog was okay.
Bria loves
Milo,
her dog.
Literally.
She does not play about her dog.
He comes everywhere.
She does not play about her dog.
And I'm screaming at the dog, and he's like, hey, like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, no, I'm looking at my dog on the screen. And then he's just like, where are you going? I'm like, well, I'm actually looking at my dog. I'm waiting for an Uber. And he's like, can you just stay for a couple of drinks? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I got to get up early in the morning. I have a screening to see. And he's like, no, just stay. And I ended up staying. We danced all night.
Oh, I love that.
We had pina coladas all night. And then he was a gentleman. He called me an Uber. And he's like, okay, like, I'll call you tomorrow. But I didn't think anything of it. I was out of a relationship back in, like, September. The Cannes Film Festival was in May. I didn't think of a relationship. I'm like, oh, he was cool. That was nice. Yeah. I'm going to wake up, go to the next film. I'm excited. And then he called me the next morning. He's like, hey, I want to see you and take you out to lunch. And it was just consistency. Yeah. And then that turned into, like, oh, well, I want you to move into my Airbnb. I don't want you to be alone. Like, you and your dog can come into my Airbnb and stay with me. And then we just been together since. And I ended up moving to Germany right after that. And, like, my life just unfolded from there. But people don't realize, before I met this man, I had a whole life that was built up. And I was working on I had a whole apartment, car, three jobs, making, like, $6,000 a month, you know, single girl, no kids, with a dog. So I say that to say, I think it was just the right place, right time, and then my life. And that's when God was like, I'm bringing you this person. He could have been Asian, Indian. Yeah.
But you know what I think it is? The problem is even if, like, you were with a black man, right?
Yes.
And you were career oriented and did all this other stuff. I think sometimes people have a hard time seeing black women thrive if we're not in service to them.
You're right.
That's something that I constantly see, and that's something that I've constantly witnessed. And it's just like, whether you were with the perfect black man or whether you were with this, whether you were all of those things,
of
there would still be an issue.
You're right.
And I think there's one girl that came on the podcast. Her name is Beatrice, and she's amazing. And she went through, like, a very, like, rough breakup. Uh-huh. And one thing that her partner did was he bought her a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And instead of us listening to, like, what she was going through, everybody was like, well, why don't you just give the stuff back?
No.
And one thing that she said was people were more so focused on the fact that it is very difficult for them to come to terms and see a black woman living well, opposed to, like, the pain that she's experiencing and what she's going through.
It's true.
And it's unfortunate. It's hard. It's
it
difficult.
Really is.
Like, even, like, when I was doing the interview process here, I interviewed a couple white men.
Mm-hmm.
And their first question to me was, who am I speaking with? Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, and that's what I always say, like, you know, or, like, I remember one time one of my friends was like, I bet you never get pulled over in this car. And I was like, I do.
All the time.
And you know what?
In Texas,
and you know,
all
the time. You know, and they ask me, they say, whose car is this?
It's called DWB, Driving While Black. I'm sorry.
Yes, like literally.
They both put in Calabasas. They do the same thing.
It doesn't matter.
You're in a Rolls Royce. Who owns this car? Yep. Who's renting it? My parents do. what, like, you want to run the plates?
Yeah.
You know who we are. You see us at the gas station mobile every other Tuesday.
No.
It's like, we can't have nice things. We can't, you know, we can't have feelings. We got to be, like, it's just, it's sad. It's really honestly sad.
No, it is. I really want to talk. Okay, so.
Yeah, tell me. Let's go. We can go everywhere.
So, I want to talk about what happened. The Zara and Con. Yes. Like, no, that honestly pissed me off. Because I know France has a history of
racism
to a whole other level. Yes. And the situation that happened, I was low-key pissed. I was listening to it, and then the more I kept listening, and as we went further into the details, I was like, this is absolutely insane.
It was horrible. It's still an ongoing case, because I guess it's going to be going on for a couple years because they're still investigating the police department. But it was my second year at the Cannes Film Festival, and it's so heartbreaking because I brought my younger sister with me, who's so innocent, by the way. She's going to be 21 in April. She's in film school, like, just the perfect child who's never been in trouble or anything. So she was under my care at that time. And that's the one thing that breaks my heart is, like, the French police department, you have no care for underage kids or kids that are young. Like, you traumatized that girl. You traumatized us. And we went. Mm-hmm. So we went for a second year. And she's in film school, and she was so excited to attend. We had accreditations again. We were invited to so many different things. Yeah. We were working with Campari there and different brands. And, you know, we went to a brunch. It was a day brunch hosted by a brand, and my boyfriend was there as well. And we decided to go because we were attending a Campari event, and we had to go find a red outfit because the dress code was all red.
Yeah.
So we left the brunch, and my boyfriend and I and my sister were like, okay, let's go into town. We were dressed up. We didn't want to go back and change.
You had your gowns. Yes. And you were dressed. And just even knowing you, I mean, look at what you got on right now. Yes. Like, it's fly. But you know what I mean?
Everyone is like this. I can understand if it's off season and we're dressed up in gowns. I mean, whatever. People would be a little skeptical. But, like, everybody. Yeah. Like, when you're walking on the streets of Cannes during that time, everyone's in dresses. So, and we were together with my boyfriend, and he's like, hey, I'm going to go to the Gucci store. I need to get a tie. You ladies go and get what you need. And before we separated, we went to Zara together. We bought a couple of things from Zara. And then he went, and he's like, okay, like, I'm going to go to Gucci. And I'm like, okay, well, there's another Zara, because there's two Zaras in the same area. I'm like, we're going to go to another Zara just to check it out. And then he's like, okay, cool. So we go. We're buying everything. Let me tell you something. I never keep receipts. I don't know why, but sometimes I'm just like, if I know I really like an item.
Stuff it in your pocket or you,
I throw it away.
Yeah.
And I stop carrying cash because I always lose cash. So thank God I put everything on credit or Apple Pay.
Yeah.
So we're shopping, we're wearing our outfits, and then we're walking back because we have to meet up to get ready to the Airbnb. And we're walking, everything's going great. As soon as we got by the Versace store, like I said, like 10 or 15 police officers on motorcycles circle us. Stop, stop, stop. Like, they're speaking That's French, insane. They're screaming. I'm scared.
I would be scared too.
And I suffer from some severe anxiety. Like, I suffer from very bad anxiety and panic attacks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is happening? Like, what's going on? And then they're like, you robbed somebody. I'm like, robbed somebody? No. Like, do you see what the I'm wearing? Like, what do you mean? And then I'm like panicking. My sister,
girl, they
like,
thought this
down.
Was what is that, the one with Sandra Bullock that, when she
that's what I'm saying
they thought they thought that was what is the name of that dang on movie,
what is it, which one,
Ocean's 11 or something. That's what they thought it, they Ocean's 8 they
the
thought
way they did it yes. Like, if
yes, but no, that's what they were acting like. Y'all came up in there,
Or like if you saw like Salt with like with Angelina Jolie, the way they surrounded us was like, and then the police cars, it was like 30 of them out there.
No.
You would have thought we had weapons, like somebody said we had weapons on us. And I was like, no, they snatched our bags. Everything's falling out on the ground. They ripped our Zara bags. Receipts are falling out. Where's the cash? Where's the cash? In French. And I'm like,
the cash?
The cash. I said, we have credit. Like, and I had the receipts for everything. They're like, no, you have the cash on your body. I'm like, no.
Wait, cash?
They said it was a white lady, which we still don't know because they're hiding her identity, said that we stole cash from her, like we robbed her in Zara. And I was like, check the cameras in Zara. I didn't go near no white lady. I said people were taking pictures.
No,
of us.
For real. Like, what?
No shade. But I was like, I didn't go near no white lady. Like, what do you guys, are you guys crazy? I'm like, credit. But they couldn't speak English. And then I'm like, get Simon on the phone now. Like, they're like, no phones. I call Simon, like, Simon, come here. Like, he's thinking I'm pranking him because I always prank him. It's not even funny. He's like, stop pranking me right now. I'm like, no, they're about to take us. Like, I feel like I'm like, they're going to kidnap us. So, which they did, because you're taking me against my will. You're supposed to get the call the embassy and you're supposed to call the embassy and report to the American insulate. Yeah. I think I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
And you have to report whenever you take an American into custody, you're supposed to do that. And they did not do that. They failed to do that. So when I called them, I'm like, please run down. I'm screaming. I'm crying. And they're like, you have to come with us. I'm like, no. And then they're like, yes, you are. Get in the car now. And I'm like, no. And then they like grab me. And they're like, if you don't get in the car, it's resisting arrest. So they get us in the car, right? And I dropped my location because my phone was dead. So I'm like, I told my sister Kadada, I'm like, send the location to him because I don't know where they're taking us. She drops the location. He's following the location. As soon as we pull off, why they had us presidential style? Five fucking motorcycles in the front, cars in the middle, five motorcycles in the back.
I would have been like, all this for me?
Yes. Two police cars in the back of our car, taking us, flying through town, doing 100. To the police station.
This is
like,
insane.
This is out of a movie. Like, they need to make a movie out of this. Cars almost smashing into us because of how fast they were going. Take us into an underground tunnel that connects to the police department. Makes us get out. Like, okay. Takes our things from us. Have us go through an elevator that, like, leads up to the police station underground. So
no.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm sitting here like, I'm a reality star on the States. Like, check it out. I have a profile. I'm here for business. I'm supposed to be attending the Campari party tonight. Like, I have my invitation. Like, you guys got the wrong person. I don't know what you guys are doing. They're like, we don't care. Everybody's speaking French. We're sitting there. And they're telling the detectives and stuff. And they're sitting there. And I guess Simon's downstairs. I guess he finally got to the station. He's cursing them out. And then his friends that are French are like, yo, if you curse them out, they'll, like, keep those girls in there. Like, you gotta... And he's like, they're not letting them out. So...
It just seems so racially motivated.
It was. It really was.
And the reason why I say that is because I have friends that used to live in Paris that don't live there anymore. The girl that helps edit my content, she literally is like, yeah, I gotta get the fuck out of France.
Yes.
She's like, I got to go back to Singapore. Yes. I got to get out of here.
Yes, because if you're a non-French citizen, I don't know how true it is, and you're a citizen accuses you of crime, they can take you in under that. And
I don't like being in France unless I'm with Luke.
So, yes.
I don't like being there unless I'm with him.
Wear your ring. Because I guess black women that walk around with white men or other different men that don't have rings
they
on their family,
assume you're
a prostitute.
Yeah.
Or escort. So
yep.
When that happened, you know, I have my baby sister with me and I'm having a panic attack at this point. And they're like, oh, they have us sitting in the waiting room. And then they're like, oh, we need to figure out what we're going to do with you ladies. I'm like, we didn't do anything. What's going on?
Figure out.
They didn't want to talk to us. They're like, shh. And the
this
police
is
officer,
scary.
There was one police officer that knew they fucked up. And he just sat there on the wall and he's just looking at me. And I'm like, you guys know you fucked up big time. I'm going to sue the fuck out of your police department. Like, you guys know you fucked up. So they take us downstairs, right? They bring us back to this elevator. This is when it gets, like, traumatizing. They bring us to this elevator. All you hear is like, boop, boop, boop. It sounds like a gun range, like if you went and shot guns. And I start freaking out in the elevator and I'm like, yo, this is it. Like, we're going to disappear. I don't know what this is.
No, I'd have been like, not today, God, please.
And I'm like, and I'm crying and I'm begging this lady. I'm like, what is this? Like, this is my younger sister. You can't do this. Please let us call. They didn't let us call the embassy. They didn't let us call the lawyers. They wouldn't let it. They denied everything. They made us sign papers in French. We don't even know what we signed. They took my sister's passport, scanned it. I didn't have my ID on me, so they didn't scan anything for me. But we get down there. Tell me why it's the men's unit. And I guess
no.
It's connected on the right side. It's men's where they hold the men criminals. And the banging was the men, the inmates downstairs screaming and cursing in French. And then I guess they had women's on the other side, but I didn't see women. I only saw all men. And I kind of blacked out in that moment because, like, when I get anxiety and panic attacks, it's kind of like I'm coming in and out. And I felt like I was going to go into cardiac arrest because I'm like, fuck, like, are they going to put us with them? Because you hear different stories around, like, different countries that mix men and women together. So I wasn't sure. And they were saying they were going to kill us. They were saying they were going to rape us, the inmates. They were saying
no.
All this stuff. And my little sister was down there. So they took us down there. They drug tested us. You're not supposed to do that. They drug tested us. And even my lawyer, she's French. She's a French black lawyer in France. And she was like, they went against and broke all the laws. They drug tested us.
It seemed like they were just trying to find anything to stick.
Yes.
Anything.
Because if I had alcohol in me, they would have got me on alcohol.
Yep.
If she had
anything to stick. Anything. We're trying to justify our reason for just being racist. Yep. Yes.
And from there, then they were like, okay, well, we need to strip search you to see where the money is.
Yeah.
So they made us take off our clothes. My little sister, she was 19 at the time. We got butt naked. They made us spread our ass cheeks, searched us, took our hair extensions out. And at this time, that was the second
Not
time.
The hair they brought extensions.
Us yes, they brought us back upstairs and then they brought us down again to search us again. And then at that time where we're like naked and we're putting our stuff in the bags, I think that was the process of them trying to book us. So they were in the process of booking us without even having evidence that we did anything. So which was very scary to me.
Yeah.
So then what saved us, which is Simon, who is my saint, the detective used to live in Germany where mm-hmm. Simon grew up and relocated to Paris when he was young. So he spoke German. And my boyfriend spoke German to him and was like, get my girlfriend out. You know what the detective said? Oh, it was all out of jealousy. We're sorry. We'll let her we'll let her out of jail.
Right all now. Out of jealousy.
Someone is jealous. They all get out of accusations. Jealousy. I'm sorry.
All out of jealousy. That's not enough.
So I do have the video where I was like coming out crying. My hair was fucked up. And I was like in distraught. Like I just got booked.
Yeah.
And before we got to leave, there was another detective that was a lady. She stripped my sister and I both in her office, in the fucking office with the computers, and was like, wanted to make sure, are you sure you don't have money on us? Where are we gonna put this money? And then made us sign a document in French. I asked her where the document was. Can I get a copy? She said, no, you can leave now. So then when we tried to go back to retrieve the police report, nope, they didn't, nothing was filed. So when I had, so then I contacted the embassy. I contacted the internal police department, and then they didn't realize like the resources that I had to go in there and put pressure
all
on
because,
their police department.
All because a white woman was jealous.
Yes. Or somebody was jealous in their establishment. I don't even know. So it's still an ongoing case. It's very expensive, but that left me traumatized. Like, and I'm supposed to be going back again. I'm going back to Cannes because I have to go and attend some films in May. But I'm traumatized. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave, you know, without Simon. I want to have security with me.
Yeah, you got to protect your peace.
If someone can just pull me off the street and be like, "Oh, she robbed me right there."
Yeah.
Go arrest him.
No, like, that's scary. How do you even recover from that level of humiliation? Because it's humiliation.
Yes, therapy. We did a lot of therapy sessions and just talking about it helps. I met another young black man who went through the same thing, a little different. He was booked and arrested as well. So just, I guess, talking about it with other people and just spreading awareness and putting pressure. I like to get even, and that's my, like, guilty,
no, I feel you.
Toxic trait.
I feel you. I feel you.
If you do something bad to me or, like, take advantage of me or put me, that was, like, my lowest. I'm going to put so much pressure on your police department that you're going to never want to do no shit like that to a black man or black woman ever again without evidence. So I kept calling. I had the lawyers calling, you know, the U.S. consulate calling. Nobody could get answers out of this police department. They were just being like dicks to everybody. So it's like I said, it's an ongoing case, but they just want to put up a fight with us, and we just keep coming back harder and harder and harder. And I guess when you're trying to sue a police department, it's very hard because I guess they're protected.
No, it is.
It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
You have to put out a lot of money to do so, and I guess they didn't think we had the money to do so, and we did. And they got put on blast. So
on standing on business.
Yes,
that's literally what I said that you do.
And I think coming back another year stronger, because I didn't want to attend the Cannes Film Festival. I didn't want to be in that area. I think they would have won and have victory by me not coming back. And, like, I'm going to come back. I'm going to show my face. I'm not going to let them get the best of me like that and make me scared. But I'm going to come correct. Like, you know, I'm not going to go out without Simon. I will probably hire security on certain days to be with me there so that they know, okay, this person is not, like, some random girl walking the streets. Because, you know, maybe they do have girls that do that, but that's not me. So it's tough and it's dangerous. And if I didn't have Simon there fighting for me, or if I didn't drop that location, mm-hmm. he would have never known when we were. Imagine we are both our phones were dead and we were taken by the police and he's waiting for us at the Airbnb to come back to get ready.
Yeah.
That's what scares me.
He has no idea.
That's what keeps me up at night. It's like, you would have never known we were taken. And you would have been calling around. You would have had to file a missing police report. And even that, they don't speak English at the police department. So you would have never known we were in custody.
And that's why I always go back to saying, like, it doesn't matter. It does not matter how much money you have. No. It does not matter how well off you are.
Who you are.
You still black.
The color of your skin. Like, they will remind you that you're black.
They will remind you all the time.
You're black.
And, like, that's, like, why when we talk about, like, it's so weird because sometimes I'm like, okay, class system oftentimes does not exist for us. I hate that happened to you.
Yes. It's a part of my story now.
Yeah.
That's
such a big thing. Like, it's just, and it's so scary.
It really is.
I'm not sure if you guys know this, but a couple of years ago, I actually had a hip replacement. That journey of trying to relearn how to walk, as well as regulating the perfect gut microbiome, it was so difficult for me. I spent a lot of years trying to take the proper medication, trying to take the proper vitamins, but I felt so overwhelmed. I first gave AG1 a try because my digestion and my body didn't feel its best. I wasn't feeling as focused. I felt sluggish, my immune system was unsupported, and I was feeling incredibly stressed. Since drinking AG1 daily, I have felt more revived than ever, especially knowing that my body is getting every single vitamin that it could possibly need. When it comes to my hip, it helps so much with the inflammation that my body sometimes suffers from. That's because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter and better way to elevate your baseline health. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support, folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support, because y'all know I'd be stressing out. I recommend AG1 to all my family and friends because it has a team of doctors and scientists, and it is tested for 950 contaminants in NSF certified sport. Even my fiance and my friends have started drinking AG1, and they always tell me how energetic they feel and that it supports their gut health. My daily AG1 routine starts with me just adding one scoop to my AG1 bottle. I shake it up and then I go on about my day. It just makes me feel good overall. And most importantly, it's refreshing. It gives me energy and it just tastes so good. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I'm excited to welcome them as a new partner for our podcast. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drink.ag1.com/to all the people. That's drink.ag1.com/to all the people. Check it out now.
It really is, because let's just say that could happen to a random black woman or a random black man in Cannes, and they're young, and their parents are at the Airbnb or home, mm-hmm. and they're shopping. Their parents would not know where they are. They didn't give us a phone call. They didn't contact our lawyers. They denied
so
everything.
Scary.
They violated our human rights.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
France is scary.
That's scary. Like, how could you do that? They don't do that in Monte Carlo, because my favorite place is Monaco. They don't do that. That's why, right
that's
after
that. That's not real luxury. She's over here living our best life. No, I feel you. I feel you.
Right after that, I was like, we're packing our bags and we're getting an Airbnb in Monaco because they're
Monaco's
very classy.
A vibe. They don't care about nothing. You can do what you need to do. Go gambling, go hang out. Yeah.
You're good. But I don't know why you guys treat foreigners like that. You know, we're bringing money and the film festival mm-hmm. to your town. Yo, you're gonna get the right person one day. Actually, you got the right person, because I'm
did.
Not gonna stop.
Yeah,
but it's unfortunate, but I get scared, because I'm thankful that I had Simon. And if my dad is retired in a force, everybody that is on my dad's side of the family, the men work in a force. They've worked as a police or a deputy. So you're fucking with somebody who comes from a force of family. We have resources. They're gonna find me because that was kidnapped. You kidnapped me.
Yeah,
and then you
did.
Took my rights
you did.
Away.
You did.
you're gonna get fined.
There's a lot of things that they broke.
They violated.
Get your money.
Yes.
So no, get your money, seriously.
I'm going after them.
France is such a... you know, one thing that's weird to me, every time I go to France, the one thing that I constantly get asked is, what are you mixed with?
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm African-American. Yeah. And they're like, no. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm African-American. People, light-skinned people exist, and we don't have to have a white parent.
Yes.
Like, this exists.
My sister is your complexion, and they do the same thing. Yep. They're like, who's her dad? My dad. But who's your mom? Your mom, my mom is your complexion too.
When people make comments, I mean, there's some places I could live in Amsterdam. I feel like I could live in Germany.
Yes,
too.
Germany
and
as well.
And I could live in London.
Yep.
But I've said this, I was like, after just traveling, do I really want to live anywhere else other than America?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Because we're behind on a lot of things, but at least we are acknowledging. Like, I don't know, America's weird in a weird way. Like, the racism is there and in our face.
Yes.
But there it's like more so like, oh, it doesn't exist, but we're going to surround you with a bunch of cop cars and then come get you and then just sweep underneath the rug.
Yes.
That's what's scary.
That's
is
scary.
That there's no one there to protest and stand up for you opposed to here.
Mm-mm. Here, like, they'll get you out in a second.
Yes.
Here, like, they'll give you a phone call here,
yes.
You know?
They'll give you a phone call.
I've been arrested for DUI. Yes. So I was like, I know. They'll give you that phone call. Sometimes they're nice. They'll give you more than one phone call, but there...
It's different.
No,
it's different.
They'll put you at the bottom of the dungeon with the men, and you'll be gone just underneath there. Who knows what would have happened to us? Who knows? They're corrupted.
I don't know why my mind instantly just went to like, oh my God, it went to Epstein Island for some reason. Like, I don't know why it did. I know that sounds so crazy,
but
it's like scary. No, that's scary.
I want to make a movie out of it because people say it sounds so dramatic. I was like, no, the way they did this shit was some like as if they got like an assassin or somebody like
no Ocean's 11
through the city was like I was like yo like they must think we really held somebody up at gunpoint took the money and like
all this for you
all this for me this is some presidential
person that was jealous
yeah
damn
thank you for that experience
you
by
out
the
here
way,
making bitches you out here just making bitches mad just being you
yes
okay my, yes. The next question I want to ask you is like how do you deal with internet trolls.
With who?
Internet trolls.
Oh, internet trolls.
She said, with who?
Like, with who?
You know, I'm a little country. I got my little southern slang.
I was like, who is this? Internet trolls.
Who do you feel like you get it the most from?
Black woman.
Boy. Ain't
Black
it?
Woman.
Ain't it? I hate to say it.
Why can't we stick together?
I hate to say it.
Why can't we support each other? And I don't know if it lacks of, like, a confidence that they have. Or something that we're doing, because I want to let all Black women know you can do the same exact thing that we're doing.
And that's why you're showing it, because you want us to know that we can do it too.
You can do the same exact thing.
Yep.
There's no excuses. Even if you have, you know, children, you're on government assistance and everything. I was on government assistance growing up. You can do it. I worked at McDonald's and was babysitting. I don't have a child, so I don't know what that's like, but there's so much resources. There's no reason for you to be hating or not just going for it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
And I think it goes back to that exposure thing.
It really
Sometimes
does.
You have to expose yourself to something completely different.
Different than what you know. Mm-hmm. You have to put yourself outside the box. If there's something that you want to do, start that eyelash business, start that weave business. Yo, start it out of your house.
Yeah.
Start it somewhere. Just start somewhere. Build that business and just start with one client and then go at a time.
Yep.
You know, you can do the same thing. You're a Black queen. We are queens. You know, you need to realize your self-worth.
Yeah.
And that we are like superior, like we are the queens.
I was literally
and kings.
I was literally thinking that because I just remember growing up, like as a kid, how inferior I oftentimes felt, and that goes back to me saying I didn't want to be found out. And it's like, girl, what's there to find out? You fly with it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, just be, you know, like. And I feel like the moment that I stopped doing the people pleasing, I feel like the moment that I stopped trying to fit the mold, I feel like the moment I stepped into myself was the moment I began to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that mindset shift came because I think about all the conversations my mom said about Black women and like how we the shit and how it's gonna be hard when you get older because people will say things. I see it now.
Yes,
I get it. And I feel
truth.
Like the mindset is the most important thing, and knowing that you are superior.
You have to remember where you came from.
Yes.
You have to remember, you know, we've been brainwashed and Black history has been erased so many times over and over again. Yep. Even our textbooks and the Black history and what we've invented and what we, how we helped, you know, we helped the white man go to the moon, you know, we,
or even like this. even all the movements, even Asian, yes, Asian American movement, a lot of Asians have rights because they mirrored the civil rights,
yes,
movement, the Chicano movement,
yes,
so many other movements that we've, even Roe v. Wade, when, yes, we, even when we think about like the first feminist, it was Sojourner Truth. Even when we think about the Me Too movement that, yes, was started by Tarana Burke, in the face of it always seems to be white people, yes, and whiteness.
Yes.
And that's where the confusion lies.
It is. And I, my message to Black women is just like, you are power. You know, everyone comes from us. And you need to do, if you forgot where you came from, go back and look at the real history of where we're from. And we are very powerful. Black women are the most powerful woman on this earth.
Yep.
I may get hate for this, but like, it's the truth.
No.
And
if you get hate on it, it's because people know it's the truth.
It's the truth.
It's the truth.
And you can do it. Channel that inner queen, that inner siren. Channel that energy. Like, you are a Black queen. You have melanin in your skin that goes for money. People try to sell Black people's melanin.
No cap.
Let's break it down. Yep. So I think that, you know, and a lot of people don't have family members or mom and dad to reiterate that or to instill that in their brain. Like, you are, yeah, worthy. You are powerful. So I thank my mom and dad for always instilling that and telling me as, you know, a young child, because I did go to white schools where it was just five Black kids in the school and I was one of them. And I would get color like, you're too dark. Oh, why, yeah, are your mom is lighter than you, or your skin's too Black. Or my parents said, I can't play with Black people the color of you.
I heard
and
that a
I
lot
would
too.
Be so sad. But my mom always just trained my brain, like, you are a beautiful Black, mm-hmm, queen. And as I got older, I just was channeling it and just researching a lot and realized how powerful I am. And I wish I can get more, like fan base from the Black woman community and just more support. And I support anyone that's Black. I support that's, you know, yeah, I want them to win.
Yeah, like, so even just you just being on the podcast. Like, yes, even you just coming in and
we
like.
I want you to win.
Yes.
Like, it's just, I want Black women to win, because it's very hard being a content creator.
Yeah.
Being anything. We have to work 10 times more.
Yeah.
Don't you know, you can have the same followers as somebody that's Caucasian, but they may get 10 times more, yep, than you. You can go to University, yep, of Southern. I had a girlfriend, best friend, went to University of Southern California. Her Caucasian girl went to University of Southern California. They work the same job, but she's getting paid a 10 times more salary because she's Caucasian and because the other girl is Black. It happens. It happens to the best of us. So it's like, we have to stick together and, yes, work harder and support each other and stay strong and know our worth.
Yeah.
But I just feel like we're divided and, oh, she thinks she's cute with her dog, yeah, and she's bougie. No, this is just who I am.
I'm living my best
that's
life.
That's how you are. Hey, I'm fucking with it. Just be you. Be real. Be authentic. I always fuck with somebody that's authentic. You could be ratchet. You could be whatever. But if you real, you authentic, and I'm having a good time with you, I'm supporting it. You know, I don't know. But my trolls are mostly, literally, all Black women and Black men.
No.
And I may have it. Like five white people.
I feel it.
That's it.
I
but
feel
it's
it.
All it's all Black people.
No, it's unfortunate. It's because, like, our community is, like, there's so much beauty in it, but there's almost so much brokenness.
Yes.
And I always think about, like, someone was like, we will never have an Alex Earl. And I know why. This is why I think we will never have, yes, an Alex Earl. Because I feel like Black people are too authentic.
That too?
I feel like that too, but then also the lack of support. Monet is killing it because she has her Hispanic community
to support her.
And even now, as she started doing well in making a bunch of money, like, the level of hate that she's just been receiving, yeah, or even Clark.
Clark, yep,
is stunning.
I love
them. Clark.
Shout out to Monet and Clark.
No, seriously. I love, yes, Clark. I love her content. And just like, even like, I'm like, huh?
But did you see?
This girl's making money. Yes. She's on brand trips 24/7.
But did you see why they're doing it? Because, oh, you're a whitewashed Black girl.
But what does that even mean?
That's what we get that. Oh, well, because you guys talk proper. Okay, don't blame me. Blame my area code. I mean, like,
blame the area code. And also, there's so many different ways to be black. Skater black girls. Yes. You got goth. Rapper black girls. You got goth. You got emo. You got the preppy.
Yes.
Like, I think that's like what's so hard is like people try to pick us apart, opposed to like if you do have an Alex Earl or something like that, you're gonna see nothing but the same girls doing the exact same thing. There's not much originality.
Nope.
And we are meant to be original beings.
We are. And also too, I think another side of it being hard for black creators and us not having an Alex Earl is the algorithm. I don't think they push, because I even realized this back when I first started like years ago trying to blog. There's so many beautiful black women that are bloggers that are shadow banned for whatever reason.
Yes.
Instagram shadow banned a lot. Because now when I open up my Instagram, I see a whole bunch of Russians from Dubai. Where are the black women at? I don't want to look at the Russians. I'm like, no Russians, shade.
Not the Russians in Dubai.
No shade. I love me a Russian girl. Like, no shade. But, like, y'all are flooding my feed. And I want to see
With the coats.
Yes. With the coats.
I love it.
That's it. That's what they're promoting. I want to see women that look like me, even on TikTok.
I have to click the not interested.
Yes. Because even on TikTok, it's like, like I said, Monet, Clark, you.
Not me putting up there with Monet.
Yes,
Clark.
Me. I think it's the algorithm, because somebody said it the other day. They commented under my photo, my video on TikTok, and they're like, at TikTok, what's wrong? Why are her views low? Because I used to get like high viewing engagement. Now it's just 200.
It's also your pedigree. Being on a major, major show.
Yes.
Like, you're on a major show.
No, I'm not getting any recognition.
Martha's Vineyard is like that was the place that black people went to when they wouldn't let us travel.
Exactly.
And then we made it pop, and then everybody else started wanting to go to Martha's.
It was a part of the Underground Railroad.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a lot of black. It was a place
so
where.
It's so crazy that the anti-black comments you're experiencing, and literally you're on a show to elevate black voices and black people.
It was a place where black people can open up black businesses without them being burned down or teared down. When you go to Martha's Vineyard, it's a lot of black owned businesses there, and they don't show that. And you want to know how I found out about Martha's Vineyard aside from the show? I used to work in the Hamptons at a Wolfer Estate, mm-hmm. and I was a hostess. And these three white ladies come in and they're like, oh my God, you should be in Martha's Vineyard. And I'm like, what's Martha's Vineyard? Because I didn't really know. And then they're like, you would love it. Like, you don't know about Martha's Vineyard? But I didn't know how much black history, I didn't know. And I'm like,
and
no.
Sometimes they be knowing more than we know, and I hate it.
They knew, but now I know.
No, yeah.
And then they were like, you should do some research and go there, because, like, you belong there. And I didn't take it. Like, I was just kind of, like, confused. Like, maybe I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. And then it hit me. When I did the show, and then I did my research, I was like, holy shit. Like, we don't know any research. They don't promote this. None of that. And only real black people, like, that know black history mm-hmm. and that researches and that vacation there know what's up. But, like, some people were like, they saw the show and they're like, we did not know that island had so much black history on it. And I was like, why did you think of Obama's vacation there?
I did not even know.
Oprah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I took, and
like
I.
Houston, like, everybody.
I didn't even know. And I took so many, like, I took so many classes on the African American diaspora when I went to college.
Yes.
Didn't teach us nothing. I was in my African American diaspora classes. I took one class as Roots of Racism, and I was like,
what?
Yes. They didn't talk about Martha.
No. There's so
even
many.
Just watching it, I remember I was watching it in Luke and was like, oh, did you know that? And I was like, no.
No. I didn't know any of it as well. And that's what it comes back to, like, our black histories being erased.
Yeah.
It's not being promoted.
I was just thinking, because I'm thinking about the show now, and I'm thinking about, like, how, like, some cast members had a problem with Simon.
Yeah, they did. And they say, like, oh, it wasn't because of his skin.
No, it was.
But it was.
It was. He had to do a lot.
I always
said that. He had to do a lot to be accepted.
Yes. And I think it's because
some of the guys on the show.
They just wanted it to be only black, like, black cast. Just black excellence. But Simon's my partner, and he comes everywhere with me. I don't see color when I see him. Like, he's the love of my life. And he's so cool. He didn't understand it. He understood, but he was just, like, sad about it at first. But it wasn't because
he
of that.
Came on the thing is like, he came on the show. They thought that he was going to be this way. And they all fell in love with him.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And it's just, like, it was a bias, because some people get so stuck on, like, the whole black excellence protocol. And sometimes – I don't know why. Sometimes that term just annoys the hell out of me. Yes. Because you can be excellent sitting in your room. You could be excellent trying to get a degree. You could be excellent
at the gym.
Excellent working at McDonald's. You're right. You're doing something for yourself.
You're right.
And I just feel like sometimes people get so stuck on that term that it can also come with like a prison mindset because you're Xing out people, and that's not who we are as a community. Allow Black people to be themselves and explore themselves. Right. Like right now is the perfect time to be whatever kind of Black person you want to be.
Take advantage of
Take advantage of it.
Go and full force. Yes,
full force. Like, you know, our ancestors just want us to be. Hell, they don't
and
want
just
us.
Be successful and make it. It doesn't matter how you get it. Just do it.
Yep.
Just do it. And I'm trying to think. I don't know.
I was going to ask you, do you have any, like, final words, because somebody might be watching this and they're just like, oh my God,
I would say
I want to do what she's doing. I want to be that girl. I want to go to these film festivals, these fashion shows. You were in Paris fashion show. Yes. Like what would you say to someone? Because manifestation tip is like,
I would say, because there's a lot that I want to say. And the first thing, because a lot of people do, like I said, you see my white boyfriend and you see me and you think that like he's paying for everything. He is very generous, but I have a job too as well. And I want women to know this, like, please always have your jobs, your business, your insurance. When you have your apartment, when you have your own car, when you have a job that's a stable job, that's your insurance. Because when you're with a man and you don't have your insurance and you don't have things going for yourself, when you give a man the power to feed you, you give the man a power to starve you.
Ooh.
And that's just, that's not.
That's a bar.
And I'm not talking about with feeding, like food. I'm talking about lifestyle, everything.
Yeah.
So my best advice to give to you ladies is start a business, work your jobs, keep your jobs, have your own car, have your insurance, and then find the man. Don't go trying to find the man and make it work. I mean, it might work for some people, that's fine, but what works for me and the way that I live my lifestyle, I have my job, I make amazing salary,
yep.
I have my home in New York, I have my car there. When I could fly to New York, I have my car in the garage, I have my home, because some people be like, why didn't you give it up? Because guess what? That makes me money too. When I'm not using my car, I rent it out. When I'm not using my apartment, I have family staying there. It's resourceful. Also, everything will fall into place because when you have your head screwed on, make sure you have a healthy diet, make sure you're working out, and make sure you're writing your goals and you have a plan.
Yeah.
You have your 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan. Have a plan. Plan that. And then everything will fall into place. You may not know what you want to do, and that's fine, but just keep on testing the waters, but don't go running after no man. I did not run after a man. It may look like that, but I did not run after my man.
And people, and I love that you said that because it's so spot on, because I feel like sometimes people glorify being the stay-at-home girlfriend.
Yes.
I was a stay-at-home girlfriend for a bit, and it was not it. And I was a stay-at-home girlfriend when I came home after COVID because I lost my job. I had to move back home, and I hated every single moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is where dreams go to die.
Yep. And I'm doing long distance right now. You know, my boyfriend is in Germany. I'm in New York. My work is in New York, but we make it work. We respect each other. And my business is always going to come first because, yes, he is very, very successful. I don't like to put numbers. He's successful, but that's not my success. And if he wakes up one day and he's like, I want you out of my house, then guess what? I'm going to fly back to New York and I'm going to go back to my apartment and I still have my job and I still have my car. So, you know, you have to grind every day like it's your last and always have. And if you are the stay-at-home girlfriend and you are the sugar baby,
make sure you save
money aside.
You don't need all the bags.
Listen.
Give me the cash for that Birkin.
Put that
Birkin. Put it up. And go start a business.
Go start a business.
Yeah.
Please. Don't go splurging it. Go start a business.
Yeah.
Go start a drop shipping business. I don't know. Get into crypto, whatever you're into. Have that on the side. And don't tell people your next move. Don't blob about it. Learn. Keep learning because knowledge is power. Keep learning and just keeping that a secret. So then, and if anything was to happen, You got your insurance. That's your insurance. That's what I say. It's your insurance. And stand on business. And that's that.
Stand on business. I love that. Thank you so, so much. Any last final thoughts, comments? Where can we find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at Bria.Raven. And you can find me on TikTok at Bria Fleming. And I'm still working on my YouTube channel, but it also is Bria Fleming as well.
Okay. Thank you guys so, so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next Monday. And go follow Bria. Y'all have a good one. Bye.